Hallelujah. Amen. You know, they volunteer and they could stay over here, but they're volunteering to go invest in the children. So I'm very thankful for them. And I know you all are too. Hallelujah. I want to preach this morning on the importance of children's ministry, on how it's important to invest in the children and the youth, and that this is what God is calling us to. And we're going to read maybe three or four scripture passages as the Spirit leads this morning. And if you will turn to Mark chapter 10, we're going to read verses 13 through 16. That's going to be our main text this morning. And the importance of children's ministry, how important it is to invest in the children and the youth. And over the weekend, we had my niece and nephews came over to stay the night at the house and enjoyed it. And I baked a cake for family day today. Me and Alex did. And it was my first time baking a cake. And so don't be scared now. I'll let you know. So we baked a cake together, and all I knew was follow the directions. Boy, I could preach on that right there, couldn't I? Follow the directions. So I'm looking at it. I get the ingredients together. I put the eggs in, right, all the ingredients that you need in order to make a cake. I put it in the pan, and I start to put it in the oven, and Daniel says, wait, you didn't put the cake mix in there. So I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I can't believe I did that. And would have brought the cake with me earlier this morning, but I accidentally turned the oven off halfway through the cooking. And it took us forever to actually figure out that the cake wasn't cooking. I go back to the door, open it. Man, this oven set on 350. Why isn't it cooking? Go back 10 minutes later, open the door. Man, this cake ain't cooking. What's wrong? It's still, you know, liquid. And so come to find out, didn't have the oven on and everything. But you know, the point that I'm making with that is that you need to enjoy the little moments in life, the small moments in life. And we get so caught up in being so business-minded. We got to get this done. We got to get that done. And I thought, this is a great way to spend time with children, is sharing an activity with them, to interact with them. I believe the best way that we can invest in children and the youth is really to slack on the technology and actually interact with the youth today. We need interaction. And if we're not careful, we can be so goal-oriented that we're not relationship-oriented, that we're not really getting to know the youth of our day, and we're not really getting to know the children. And we really, really need to invest in the children and the youth, because if you want to change, if you want to see change in the community, and if you want to see change in the world, you better start investing in the 2-year-old, 3-year-old, even up to 5, all the way up to teenager, because those are formative years. Everybody say formation. Those are their formative years, and they get their beliefs by the age of 5 to 6 years old. So it's very important to invest in them and to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. And so even though you baked the cake wrong, but we prevailed. We prevailed. We put the cake mix in with the, you know, the ingredients, and it's cooked and everything. So y'all bid on the cake now. Don't make me feel bad. Don't hurt my feelings this morning, okay? Everybody laugh. Everybody loosen up. Everybody loosen up. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. Jesus blesses the little children. Yes, we got it on the screen. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, because they knew that there's nothing like the Master's touch. But the church rebuked them who brought them. Next verse. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased And he said to them, let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms. See, they just wanted Jesus to touch them. But Jesus just didn't touch them. He took them up in his arms. And he laid his hands on them. And he blessed them. And that word bless there is not just saying, I bless you. That's not what that means. That word bless there means he prophesied to them. He prophesied to their future. You know what he told them? I believe he told them when he blessed them. When I looked up a word study in this, and the word bless means to speak kindly of someone. Jesus was giving the children encouragement, and his blessing was spoken over them. There are children in this community that haven't had the blessing spoken over them. Some of them don't even have a mom and dad to speak the blessing over them or to lay hands on them and to speak well of them and to speak kindness to them and tell them that they've got a future and that they've got a plan for their life. Jesus said, don't forbid them. Don't forbid them. You let them come to me. And Jesus took the children up in his arms. He didn't just touch them, but he took them up in his arms. And he blessed them. He laid hands on them, blessed them, spoke well of them. Could it be that the church is not doing their job by being the body of Christ? Are we blessing them? Are we taking the children up in our arms? Everybody say the body of Christ. Are we doing this? And the Bible says that we can enter the kingdom of God by being like a little child. And kids enjoy life. They're always wanting to play, right? Always wanting to have fun. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy life. And I found that as we get older, we tend to drift away from that because we become so caught up in the rat race. We get so caught up in the things that we can't enjoy the small moments in life, that we can't enjoy our children, that we can't enjoy our families. Listen, guys, if we don't take a break, I mean a break from the TV, the technology, and take a break and interact with our families, we won't see the blessing be released in our lives. Take time for your kids. Take time for the youth. Take time for your families. We have got to spiritually invest in them. Jesus had time for them. It was the disciples that rebuked them and said, don't be taking the kids up here. Don't be taking the kids to Jesus. And Jesus said, don't forbid them to come unto me. He said, let them all come to me. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, says, for the kingdom of God, ever say kingdom? Kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? Romans 14, 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Could it be that the reason why we don't see the release of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, is because we are not investing and taking time for children in the youth ministry? Could it be that we don't see the... Could it be that there's no joy because we don't take time to invest in our families? Could it be we don't see peace? Right? How many can relate to that? How many's ever seen that? No peace in the house, no peace in the home because we're not investing in children. We're not investing, no interaction. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God, I believe that we should not forbid the children. This is why the Lord has put it upon my heart, and I know the Lord's put it upon your heart too, that we want to start a van ministry. We want to reach to the children who have not had the blessing. Can you go back to that verse? We want to reach children that haven't had the blessing spoken over their lives. And you say, Pastor, we're going to have to get up earlier. Are we willing to get up just a little bit earlier to speak a blessing over children's lives? Right? Are we willing to get up just a little? Well, Pastor, we're going to have to put gas in the van. Yes, we will. We're going to, it'll be hard. That's a little bit of sacrifice. Well, isn't that sacrifice worth it? I believe what we do for children today and what we do for the youth today will matter 20 years from now, will matter 15 years from now. It will matter. God is calling us to invest in them. Are we letting the children come to God? Are we letting them? Don't forbid them. Let's reach out to them. You know, a while ago I said that kids enjoy life. They love to pretend. How many knows that? They love to pretend. They love to do stuff like that. And you know what? Grown-ups do too, only when they're watching movies. Honest. Only when we're watching. We don't like to we don't pretend or nothing. We just don't. And when we watch a movie, we like to put ourselves in the movie, right? Am I speaking to any women in here who like those romantic videos? You know, romantic videos. And you're putting yourself in that movie. Wow. Right? You're there, right? You're there. And that's the reason why we don't like bad acting. Are you with me? That's the reason why we don't like bad acting. We don't like, man, that's terrible. And we don't like bad graphics, right? We don't like bad, because we're there in the moment. And we love to pretend, right? We love to pretend. You know what that, the Lord told me in that, you know what the Lord told me? He said, why don't you live like that? That we lose our imagination. Y'all stay with, are y'all listening this morning? We lose, God gave you an imagination, right? And there's something about a sanctified imagination. And the Bible says that we can't enter the kingdom of God except, right, by, go to that verse, in verse 15. As a, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. You tell a child something and they'll believe you. They'll believe that because they're vulnerable. Are y'all with me this morning? And they'll believe it. We need to be that way when it comes to the Word of God. Where we be so vulnerable unto God, whatever God says, we believe it. This is what you said, God. This is what you said. We believe it. We're going to stand firm on it. We're going to stand firm on the Word of God. Right? Stand firm on the Word of God and walk by faith. I really feel it in my heart that we should really emphasize investing in the children. Now, I don't know if this is true or if this is true or not. Maybe there was some that didn't come here today because we're doing family day. Maybe because we're doing family day. Listen, it's all about family. It's all about family. And we, listen, one of the core values that we have for the children's ministry is that every child has purpose and potential. That's a core value. Every child has purpose and potential. And every child needs attention and affirmation. Yeah, you have to pay attention. Yeah, we have to affirm them with our words, right? It's not good affirmation if we say, you'll never amount to anything. You're just like your uncle. Y'all with me? And speak bad to them and speak low to them. And they, listen, children live up to what you say about them. I'm telling you, they live up to what you tell them. They live up to how you act. They live up to these things and they see these things. Guys, I'm pleading with you this morning. I know we're not perfect, and I know we're full of flaws, but let's invest in the children and let them know that church is a big deal. God is a big deal. And I believe, and it's my firm conviction, that if we truly let every child know that they have purpose and potential, and it's my true conviction to let them know that they need it, that they can get attention and affirmation, they will grow up to be one of the greatest women and men of God that people has ever seen in their life. And I believe that if we invest in them today, it will matter 20 years from now. It will matter. I'm a firm believer in that. Let's invest in the children. One of the things that we need to do is We need to spend money on the children when it comes to ministry. Amen, church. We need to do that. Look at Disney World. Every kid loves to go there, right? Every child loves. They want to go to Disney World because they have fun. And look, we have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus here in our lives. What's going on? Can I get an amen in the house of God this morning? Right? They got Mickey Mouse, and we've got Jesus Christ. What's going on here? They're doing something, right? I believe that we should have that same passion, even a greater passion, right? We should have a big vision. We should dream big. And if we don't invest in the youth, if we don't invest in the children, you know what? We're not receiving the kingdom of God. We're not receiving the kingdom of God. Listen, children and youth are the most important mission field in the church. And if we aren't willing to spend our resources on the kids, then our heart isn't aligned with God's kingdom. We must invest in the children and the youth. A while ago I said they have to have fun. They've got to have fun. You got to get into their world, right? And that's something I'm learning myself. I tried to give a kid a theological dissertation the other day. It just didn't work. Just didn't work. It didn't work out. But when I broke it down and spoke in their language, right, and actually interacted with them and had fun, they kind of listened. They listened. I'm telling you, they listen to what you say if you'll interact with them, have fun, right? It may take you 3 to 6 months to actually figure it out, but you'll figure it out. If you got a heart for kids, you'll figure out how to get along with them. You will. You'll figure it out somehow. It may drive you nuts, right? But you'll figure it out, right? You may lose sleep, right? Our niece has stayed with us over the weekend. She cried during the night, you know, when I woke up. I'm like, oh, man, this is just a glimpse of the future. I was like, oh, man. I was like, help me, Lord. And so we've got to be willing. Everybody say sacrifice. We've got to be willing to invest in the youth. Invest in the children. Let them know that they have purpose. Let them know they have potential. Let them know. Listen, give them attention. Affirm them with your words and with your conduct. And let them know that they are important. They are important. They mean so much. They have to learn something too. Not just have fun, but they have to learn something. Canon. What's that scripture Canon uses all the time? What's that scripture that you preached? What was that scripture? He come to me one evening. He come to me one evening, Sunday night. He gave me a scripture reference. He said, Pastor, I want to preach this scripture reference. Yeah. Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And I thought, Lord, we're just going to let him preach tonight. So I lowered this all the way down to the bottom. And we said, preach on. Preach the word. And he was preaching, with God, all things are possible. Listen, you can't even get adults to believe that. Listen, when you enter the kingdom of God as a little child, you just believe it. You believe all things are possible. And when we're together and we have that kind of faith, man, great things happen, right? God gave us an imagination. He gave us faith. He gave us an imagination that we can dream with, that we can have a big vision for our families and for our churches, for the kingdom of God. We don't have to think low or average or mediocre. Go for it. Go all in. Amen. Go all in when it's for God. Don't you hold back. As this old timers say, or down here in the South, they say, don't you cut any corners. Don't you hold back now. Right? Don't hold back. You give it all in. You go all in for God, right? How else can you serve God? How can you serve God by not going all in? That just don't make any sense, does it? Go all in. Everybody say, go all in. Amen. We give it everything that we have. A while ago, I said, let's read verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he spoke well of them. He spoke kindly to them. As I said a while ago, there's kids who have never had the hands of blessing in their lives. And I believe verse 16 is a call to the church. And I believe, look here, let's read this verse this way. And the church took them up in his arms, in their arms, look there. Laid their hands on them and blessed them. We're the body of Christ, amen? Amen. Are we the hands and feet of Jesus? Amen. Then let's do this. If we want to be like Jesus, why don't we take them up in our arms and bless them and speak well of them and prophesy to them? Let them know they have a future ahead of them. Right? Somebody say amen this morning. God is calling us to do this. And I believe that this message really intertwines with Family Day today. Because today we're going to have a great time. And every month when we have Food Fun Fellowship, we're not going to have it this month, but every month when we have Food Fun Fellowship, it's going to be a birthday theme. Birthday theme. And we're going to hold birthday parties for all the kids that had a birthday party in that month. We want to invest in them. We want to let them know they matter. They're important. Amen, church. They're important. So they have to have fun. They have to learn something. And listen, the Bible says that His word won't return void. And I know, and I'm probably speaking to everyone in here who's volunteered, and they're over there right now doing children's church. But for those of you that's done children's church, you probably thought, man, they're not listening to a word. They're not listening to me. I'm always having to holler at them. No, put that down. Turn around. Sit down. Shh. Right? But when you give them the word of God and you keep investing in them, right? And you keep investing in them. You keep giving them the word of God. Listen, His word won't return void. And 5 years down the road and 10 years down the road, it will stick with them. Right? I told Danielle this morning, I said, when the kids come over to the house, I'm going to tell them love. Every time they get in a fight or whatever, I'm going to tell them, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when they leave, when they get older, their uncle's going to say, every time we went to Uncle Samuel's house, he always said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. It's going to stick with them. That, he told me, he said, my brother's not my neighbor. He's my brother. Praise the Lord. It's important to bless the children. It's important to. You know, you see right there where it says he laid his hands on them, right? We all, that's good, ain't it? Ain't that good? And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. If you got time, we got time. Numbers chapter 6. Go to Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, quickly, very quickly. We are the extension of God. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are called to invest and bless the children. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. Okay, this is the priestly blessing in the Old Testament. Now, when the priest, when he would pray this prayer, he would lay hands on them like this. This is how he did it. He'd lay hands on it and bless them. And he would say this prayer. He would say this prayer. He said, the Lord bless you and keep you. Next verse. Y'all bear with me this morning. And the Lord make His face shine upon you. I don't know who wouldn't want the Lord's face shine upon them and be gracious to you. That's grace, unmerited favor. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And when the priest would pray that, he would bless them and the blessing of the Lord would come upon them. If the church is not praying that prayer, if we're not praying, if we're not prophesying and declaring to them, I really believe we do them a disfavor. God has called us to bless them. Amen, church. If we don't hear any cries in the church service, hallelujah, I got your attention now, didn't I? If we don't hear any cries, if we don't hear any laughs, if we don't hear babies screaming, then we're not opening up the kingdom of God. So every time I hear a baby scream, I thank God they're here. Every time I hear a child laugh, thank God they're here. Hallelujah. And I know sometimes, boy, kids go over there get loud. Listen, they're here. And it's a chance for us to invest in them and tell them and show them about the love of God. But sometimes we get so busy, too busy, complaining how loud. Y'all with me? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen this morning. Right? Listen, I've been preaching before. The baby be screaming so loud, I'll be like, I can't hear myself up here. But you know what? I was thankful because I knew that the mom and dad or the dad or the mom was thoughtful enough to bring them to church and to get them exposed to the presence of God. Thank God for screaming babies. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus blessed the little children. I believe he prayed this prayer. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but I believe he did. I believe he prayed something along those lines, spoke well of them. I believe he did. Right? And we're supposed to bless them. We're supposed to be the body of Christ. Will you turn to John chapter 14, verse 18, Dennis? Everybody say, preach, preacher. I'm teaching this morning, but it's still good, ain't it? John chapter 14, verse 18. I love this verse. Look here. Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. There are people who are orphans spiritually. They're spiritual orphans. And we are the ones who are to bring them to God. We are the body of Christ. We are to do that. And I want to read one more verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I want to read this one more verse here. Second Timothy 1, verse 5. That's not the right one there, but we'll wait. It's a good verse, though. It says 2 Timothy 1, 5. When I call to remembrance, this is Paul writing to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in who? His grandmother. Do you see that? Some of you have praying grandmothers who prayed for you. And the reason why you're still alive today, because you had a grandmother who was smart enough, who was wise enough to get in her prayer closet and pray. Thank God for the grandmother who was born in 1905. Well, hallelujah. Which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and who else? Eunice. Look here, Paul said. Look, Paul is giving affirmation to Timothy. Look here, and he says, and I am persuaded is in you also. He's speaking life over them. Paul said, look, I believe the faith that was in your grandmother and your mother, I believe it's in you too. Grandmothers, mothers, what you do for your children when you bring them to church, when you bless them, when you tell them love your neighbor as yourself, when you tell them these things, you are not wasting your time. Now the devil will come in and say you're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath, but you are not wasting your time. You're not wasting your time. You just tell them about the love of God and you live it too. Right? Because they hear what you say and they watch what you do. Right? We know the times where you say something at home and you get out in public and they tell, repeat something. It's like, yeah. How many remembers those chewy granola bars, the commercial? And whenever the kid would say something out of the way, he'd say, here, get this candy bar, this chewy granola bar, right? And anyways, I brought that up, thought it's funny. But they watch what you do. Right? And they hear what you say. And it's important for us to really, to interact with them. Everybody say interact. Today, we're going to have a lot of interaction with each other. We're going to do that. Right? We interact with you. We're going to have interaction with children. We're going to have interaction. We're called to bless each other. Listen, I believe in having fun. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like to come to church if I don't have fun. If I can't laugh. Oh, man, if I can't laugh and have fun, man, there's something wrong. Man, we got to have fun. We got to laugh. We got to praise God. We got to worship God. Man, we're family. We're family, right? And so some people say, I'm holy, I don't laugh. We shouldn't laugh in the house of God. Listen, I'm sure there were children laughing and screaming, it's Jesus! Right? You remember that verse where they told the kids to be quiet? They told them, said, Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, he said, they don't need to be quiet. Now, you go read this for yourself because I'm not, this is just a paraphrase of what I'm saying, okay? He said, they don't need to be quiet, right? He said, the stones will cry out. Man, it's Jesus. Amen, church. And if we aren't enthusiastic about Jesus, then how do we expect youth or children to be enthusiastic about Jesus? This morning, and I know I'm using them as an example, I was telling them, I said, church is a big deal. I said, we're going to church today. We're going to church this morning together. It's a big deal, right? And some of it's not a big deal. For some people, it's not a big deal. But when you make God a big deal in your life and you make God a big deal in your family, you will notice a change and you will notice a difference. I'm telling you. And when you pray together, listen, when you pray together, there has to be a change. There has to be a change. Right? So I'm a firm believer and I have a firm conviction that the way we're going to see change is that it hinges upon investing in the children in this community and blessing them. Don't let me hear anybody say we don't have time for kids. Don't let me hear anybody say we don't have time for you. Don't let me hear anybody say because we do. Because Jesus said, don't forbid them to come to me. Right? And we can't even enter the kingdom of God if we don't have the faith as a little child. Let's go back to verse 13 right here. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those. Listen, I don't want us rebuking people or rebuking because of children. You hear me? You with me? We need to be a blessing to them. Right? I believe it's wrong when we say, well, the adult ministry is more important than the children's ministry. What God do you serve? Is what I'm going to ask you. What God do you serve? Adult ministry is more important than children's ministry, right? If we really, listen, if we really knew how important children's ministry was, I believe there would be some people say, I'm volunteering. I'll volunteer. And you know what causes us to give up sometimes? We don't see immediate results. Sometimes we don't see immediate results, but God says you keep investing in them. You keep investing. You keep giving them the word. You keep praying. You keep being a godly mother. You keep being a godly father. Amen, church. I just want to share this one last thought with you. I told my mom and dad's here this morning. I thank God for them. So glad that they're here. And I told them one day, I actually wrote a blog. And I told dad and I told them that the best thing that dad did for me, really, I mean, I love to fish. I love to do all these things. I loved it when we did all that stuff. But the best thing he did was loving my mother for me. That was the best thing he did. And the best thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse unconditionally. Are you with me this morning, church? Love them unconditionally, right? That's the best thing. And I just want to be honest with you. A while ago, I was talking about being business-minded, being so goal-oriented, right? Because I want the church to grow, so I got the church on my mind all the time. I got the church on my mind. Let's do this. We could do this. We could do that. We could do this. And it was taking up our conversations. It's always talking about me and my wife was talking about this, talking about vision, talking about, I was talking to Johnny about that this morning. And I have to be intentional to actually say, hold up, we can't talk about this right now. We actually need to enjoy each other's presence. We actually need to enjoy each other. I got to stop. So I need your prayers when it comes to that. Because sometimes when I get my mind going, right, I'm all about accomplishing vision. Got to get this done. Got to get that done. Got to get this done. Church, we better slow down and take time to interact with our families. Are you with me this morning? The Lord told me, and I've got it wrote down in my phone. If it's not, I'm going to tell you anyways from memory. But I want to tell you, the preacher done got his phone out this morning. That is a big no-no, right? Preacher got his phone out. Everybody, now don't you get your phone out and start texting now. Praise the Lord. The Lord told me this. This is what I felt like he told me. And sometimes as a pastor, I get real busy. You know, I got the church on my mind, I got people on my mind. I got to call this person because they haven't been to church in 2 to 3 weeks. Got to call this person, you know, because they need to be in church. They need God, right? We need to call them, make sure they're okay, right? Y'all still believe in that, right? Amen. Y'all still believe in making phone calls, checking on people? You believe that, right? Y'all agree? We need to check on people. Well, the Lord told me I need to slow down, take some time for my wife. He told me the church isn't your wife. He said, the church is my covenant bride. It's my bride. Are you going to express, listen closely, are you going to express how I love my wife by loving your wife? Did y'all catch that? You're a pastor and you're a minister, but you're a husband first. And I wrote down, don't sacrifice your marriage on the altar of ministry. And I have seen leaders and ministry leaders give, they put so much time in trying to make things grow, make things work, that they don't even invest in their relationship, and it just kind of dwindles off. Right? Just kind of dwindles off. Don't sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. Do not do that. When people, listen, when you're ministering, when you do things, this is not just ministry, people. This is for any occupate career, job, whatever it is. You got to learn how to say no sometimes. Are you with me? You've got to learn when to say yes, when to say no. You've got to take time. And you say, Pastor Sam, seems like you got all this figured out this morning. No, I don't. I don't have it all figured out. Right? And I'm trying, and I'm not perfect. But by God's grace, together, we can implement this scripture passage in our lives to take time for our families, to take time for our children. Because I'm telling you, what's it going to matter, right? Trying to win a rat race, right? And not invest in our family and our children. You with me? What will that matter at the end of life? What will matter is what we did for our kids, what we did for our family, right? Let's love each other, right? Let's invest in them spiritually. Amen. Man, I feel such a sweet spirit here this morning. Man, it's such a precious spirit. Man, people get saved this morning. Man, they could get a change in their lives this morning. All they have to do is call on God. Man, you know, this altar is open. It is. It's open this morning. You can bring your spouse up here. Maybe you're single. Listen, God's got somebody for you. God's got somebody for you if you're single. You know, I got, you know, impatient. Didn't asking God, where are you? Where are you, God? Listen, if you're single, God will send you someone. Maybe you should come up to pray for that. Right? And ask God, Lord, help. Not only help me find the right person, but help me be the right person. Maybe that's something you need prayer for. I'm not going to force you to pray this morning. I'm not going to force you. I don't force anybody to do anything for God. Because I want you to have a desire. I want you to have a heart's desire to do something for God. But this morning, your life can change, and you could put your life in the right direction. You can get on the right path this morning if you'll answer the altar call, if you'll answer this morning and come to God. You can have a change of heart. And so this altar is open for anyone who feels led to pray this morning. You're not saved? Now's the time to get saved, give your life to God, have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you want to come up here and say, Lord, help me be a better parent. Better husband, better wife. Help me to live as you would have me to live. Maybe you're engaged or you're thinking about getting married. How about soaking it in prayer? You with me? How about soaking it in prayer this morning? This altar is open. And I believe this morning that if you come to God, you won't leave disappointed. You won't leave disappointed. And I'll pray with you. We have other people who will pray with you. Or you can kneel at the altar, however the Lord leads you. But don't miss this opportunity to pray with your family, to get a relationship with God. Don't miss this opportunity. This is a great opportunity right now. Such a great opportunity. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord.